So the topic today will be that of prayer. Topic is prayer. Start with a definition. Talking about a topic, you should start with defining what it is. So what is prayer? You have three different ideas. And number one, what prayer is. Your prayer is listening to God. Listening to God. Talking to God. And loving God. Listening to God. Talking to God. And loving God. So you gotta listen. We gotta talk. We gotta love. Listening can be by reading the Word of God. That's a type of listening. Talking, we can use whatever words we want. The most important affection of the human heart is true love. So those three different things we mentioned, loving God is the most important. Number two, is prayer important? And what does Saint Alphonsus say about the importance of prayer? Saint Alphonsus is a great doctor of the church. And he says this, three ideas also. He who prays much will be saved. Write that in there. He who prays much will be saved. Who prays much will be saved. Did you write that in there? I didn't see you writing it in. Good. Now, simple question. Do you want to go to heaven? How about you? Okay. If you guys want to go to heaven, if you really learn how to pray well, and you put into practice, you're going to go to heaven. As simple as that. You learn how to pray well, and you put that into practice, you're going to be saved. The second part is, he who does not pray will be damned. He who does not pray will be damned. That means he will go to hell. Right in there. He who does not pray will be damned. That means he will go to hell. And lastly, he who prays little places in jeopardy his eternal salvation. Did you write that? He who prays little places in jeopardy his eternal salvation. So if you're able to go to have a TV interview tonight at 10 o'clock, Channel 5 News, 10 o'clock, you were to go down to hell and make an interview of all those who are in hell, know what they say? We're in hell because we didn't pray. But if you have to go, if you're to go to heaven and ask those saints in heaven, why are you here? Not because we have a lot of talents, but because we learn how to pray well. Those in purgatory, well, you know, we prayed okay. I don't want to be overly simplistic, but that really basically says it all. All those people in heaven, they prayed well. All those in hell, they didn't pray. Now, upon letter talks I give, I'll tell the people that I can teach people how to pray. I can. I'm a teacher. And I can teach people how to pray. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. That I can't give you. Sorry. We have a proverb, a New York proverb. You can take the donkey to the water, but you can't make the donkey drink the water. It's a good proverb. You take the donkey to the water, but you can't force him to drink the water. So in a certain sense, I can teach you how to pray. Paul could teach you how to pray. But to really force you to pray, okay, maybe you're praying the rosary, maybe you're kind of forcing them a little bit, no? Once they leave for the next 7 days, whether you pray or not, that depends on you. So we're trying to bring them to the water, Paul. Hopefully they want to drink. We hope. So this work that I wrote, this worksheet for you guys, this will give you the basic tools on how to pray. Or if you like, we have some athletes here. Cameron, no? I mean, I can give you the baseball bat, Cameron, but you got to pick it up and you got to swing. Sorry, you just—that's a nice baseball bat, but you never put it on your shoulder. You never swing. You're never going to get on first base. So I can get you a Louisville Slugger. I can give you a really good bat. No? But you got to swing and you got to hit the ball, right? Curveball, wait on it, punch at the opposite field. They taught me in high school. Got to be quick on the fastball right around the waist, no? That's the home run pitch, huh? So, yeah, the same thing. I mean, I could probably teach you guys how to hit a baseball. But you got to go out there and you got to do the bat and you got to swing at it. Maybe if you never played baseball before, you're not going to hit the ball until it's thrown maybe 500 times, and eventually you're going to connect. So prayer is the same. You know, you pray, and if you never really prayed before, it's kind of never practicing. Practice makes perfect, right? Practice makes perfect. So we have to practice prayer. So you ask the confirmation student, do you pray? Yes. Once a week, from 5 to 5:15, because my confirmation teacher forces us to pray. Hopefully they go beyond that, huh? Hopefully they go beyond that. Praying more. I have a radio program that I have tomorrow. And they used to start off my radio program with something that I said, and it was this. Lo que el aire es por los pulmones, la oración es por el alma. Es muy poético si hablas español. ¿Entendieron? Lo que el aire es por los pulmones, así la oración es por el alma. Any translators? What air is for the lungs, prayer is to the soul. What happens if you don't have any air for your lungs? You're going to die, right? Suffocate. So if we don't pray, our soul is going to suffocate, it's going to wither up, and it's going to die. You know, Paul, even though they're learning, even though they pray when they're forced to pray, that's still good. Eventually you'll be able to hopefully pray when you're not forced. You'll really feel this desire to pray and to pray often. You know, I've already prayed two rosaries today. One rosary I prayed about 6 o'clock in the morning in front of our Blessed Sac. Do you know where I prayed the other rosary? I didn't think you know, so I'll tell you. I was coming back from the cemetery where I was burying Laurie Axton, who passed away when the catechist died. Do you know where Cherry is, any of the guys? Cherry? Long Beach, Cherry?
All Souls Cemetery?
All Souls, yeah. So I was, Cherry turned on Carson, and the whole Carson from Cherry all the way, Carson to Juan Avenue, I prayed my rosary. I prayed my rosary in my car. So my car became a portable chapel. Became a portable chapel. Maybe that never occurred to you, you can pray in your car. Obviously you think you associate church and prayer, there's an association there, but you can pray. You can pray in your car too. Did you ever pray in your car with your mother or father? Did you ever do that? Nothing wrong with that. And I think if people prayed more, there'd be less accidents. So prayer is so important. All those who are in heaven, they're there because they prayed. Right, Max? Number three. Where can we pray? What?
Anywhere.
Can you pray in the desert?
Yes.
Can you pray in the mountain?
Yes.
Can you pray in the depths of the sea?
Yes.
So anywhere we can pray, you know why? Because wherever we go, God is present. Wherever we go, God is present. You know, little kids, when they do things wrong, they'll actually go like this to their parents. They feel that maybe their parents can see them, huh? It doesn't work that way. Their parents can see them, even though they close their eyes with their hands. My mom and my dad can't see me. We know that's kind of dumb, huh? I think sometimes we do the same thing with God. We sometimes block God out of our lives. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. In the dark of the night, God is present. In the depths of the sea, God is present. On the top of the highest mountain, God is present. One of the Psalms. Never, never escape from the presence of God. So if you're aware of God's omnipresence, God is everywhere, it's going to be easier to pray. But you guys should have reminders. What are some things that might be reminders or remind us about God? Can you tell me any? Some God reminders? Wearing a Mountain Dew t-shirt? Not really. How about Just Do It? Nah, not so much. How about the Thrasher Skateboard magazine? I doubt it, no. Wearing a black shirt? Probably not. And a red? Probably not. What are the things that might, not to say you can't wear that t-shirt, okay, fine. Just do it, you can say. Just do it, go to confession, just do it, right? Might be able to interpret it in that way, huh? What are some God reminders? Okay, maybe you wear a cross. Any of you ever wear a medal? Una medalla? Or a medal? How about a scapular? Any of you wear a scapular? That's a reminder. How about in your car? Does your mom and dad have anything in the car that might be a God reminder? What do they have? Rosaries? What?
Oh, is it a visor clip?
Visor clip? Maybe of a saint? A cross? Good.
Picture of Jesus.
How about in your homes then? Is there any reminders, God reminders in your homes? Statue of the Virgin Mary.
A cross.
A cross.
Painting
of the Virgin Mary.
Flowers made of
the
cross.
Flowers made of the cross, okay? What are we gonna say? You look like a real thinker. Do any of you have maybe a picture of Divine Mercy? The Divine Mercy? So those are reminders. They remind you of God, and they're very helpful. Did Jehovah Witnesses like statues or pictures of Mary? What do you think? Why not? What? Yeah, right. That's what they say. That's the practice of idolatry. If you've got a statue, you guys are really adoring an idol. Idol worship. Is that true, though? How would you defend the use of images? Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well said. So it's a good idea to have images in your home, in your car, that remind you of God. Remind you of God, and that can help you to pray to God. Another definition we haven't put of St. John Damascene, prayer is lifting up your mind and your heart to God. Prayer is lifting up your mind and your heart to God. Okay, next. Where can we pray? Well, okay, when can we pray?
Anytime.
Okay, but put next to any time, upon waking, and before sleeping. Upon waking and before sleeping are good times. As soon as you wake, say a prayer of consecration to Jesus, to Mary. Before you go to bed, pray. Those are good two prime times to pray. Okay, now, what is the greatest prayer, that we can offer to God? Rosary is a great prayer. The Our Father is a great prayer. But there's an even greater prayer than all those that you mentioned. That would be? Hail Mary is a great prayer, but there's something even greater, and I think you know. No? You seem to be a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. What do you think? Nope. That's a great place. That's a great prayer, something greater.
Adoration.
Adoration, you're close. Close, but no cigar. You're getting warmer. The Mass. Okay. Hey, you were just with me, Juan Diego. You forgot, huh? So Mass is the greatest prayer. The greatest prayer in the whole universe is the Mass. Okay, what is the prayer? What is the prayer that Jesus taught us? Okay, it's the Our Father. In place below the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Our Father. It's also called the Lord's Prayer. Okay, prayer expresses the sentiments or feelings of the human heart. What acronym, word game, can help us to remember the basic sentiments used in prayer? And it starts with A, C, T, S. These are different, ways that you can maybe speak to a human person. We can speak to God in the same way, of course, with greater reverence. A, C, T, S. So A, A would be adoration. Adoration. We adore God. We praise God. We worship God. We glorify God. So put next adoration, it would be to praise, to worship, to glorify, because of His greatness. Praise, to worship, to glorify God because of His greatness. We do that in Mass, by the way. Maybe it's happened once in your life, you're really moved by really sentiment of great sentiment, and you actually said to your mom, man, you're great. You're the greatest, no? Because you recognize how much your parents love you, they've given to you, they sacrificed for you, how great you are. Maybe you've never done that yet, but maybe one day you will. What would happen if you were fooling around at home and you broke one of your mother's dishes that her great-grandmother gave her? And you, in other words, it's a dish that's 100 years old that your mother really relished, and you're fooling around and you knocked it down from the shelf and you broke it into pieces. What would you do when your mother came home? My sister did it. I hope not. That wouldn't be honest, would it, no? My little sister did it, no? You might be tempted to do that. But that'd be lying, right? You give your sister una nalgada, right? What should you do? I'll glue it back together. But what if that were impossible? What should you tell your mother?
Sorry.
Mom, I'm sorry. I was fooling around and I knocked over your dish and it shattered into a thousand different pieces. I'm really, really sorry for that. And maybe your mother would get angry, but she'd say, okay, well, I accept your apology. You feel probably hurt because that's like a dish that's 100 years old that was given for a great-grandmother down to the grandmother down to your mother. It was a real, real treasure. Okay, so when we commit a sin, what do we say to God? I'm sorry. So the word, it begins with C, and the word is contrition. So if you told your mother you're sorry for breaking her dish, you tell God you're sorry when you commit a sin. By now you know what a sin is, right? It can be thousands of different things. We wouldn't tell God we're sorry. Now your mother might be slow to forgive you because you see that dish that's 120 years old there, laying on the ground in pieces, she might be slow to forgive because she's shocked that that's broken. But eventually, your mother's going to forgive you. I'm pretty sure. What about God? Is God just like your mother?
Yes.
Okay, do you think your mother could be kind of slow to forgive? How about God? Is God slow to forgive? How does he forgive? How quickly? Instantly is the best word. Yeah. Immediately. Soon as you tell God you're sorry, as soon as you tell God you're sorry, with a truly contrite heart, God forgives you. Just like that. So, contrition means telling God we are what?
Sorry.
Telling God we're sorry. And as soon as we sin, we should tell God our sorrow and not wait. Because the more we wait, the more difficult it is to ask for forgiveness. You know, what happens if we don't tell God we're sorry for one sin, then often we end up by committing another sin, then another sin, then another sin. It's like the domino effect. We commit a lot of sins. And before we know it, we don't even want to give up the sin. Before we know that, we become a slave to sin. And worse yet, we say, well, we haven't even sinned. We've denied the reality of sin. That's the dynamic of the devil and of the exercises. As soon as we sin, sorry, God. Help me not to do it again. Okay, T stands for, when we're talking to God, what do you think? Yes, but the best word is thanksgiving. 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 How would you feel if you saved up a whole year to give someone you love a gift that was worth maybe $250? And you gave that gift to maybe an older brother, maybe going to college. He said, I don't even like that. Give it to someone else. How would you feel? You'd feel really hurt, right? You'd feel really hurt. So if God gives us something, shouldn't we say thank you?
Yes.
We should learn how to say thanks. Do any of you remember that biblical passage that we read on Thanksgiving Day? You ever go to Mass on Thanksgiving Day before eating the turkey?
Yes.
And it's the Gospel is of the 10 lepers. Do you remember the Gospel of the 10 lepers?
Yes.
Do you know the Gospel? Who knows the Gospel of the 10 lepers? What happened? The Gospel of the 10 lepers, not leopards, but lepers. What's the Gospel of the 10 lepers? Jesus healed all of them.
Oh.
And what happened?
And none of them, they didn't give any sin, but one of them came back and did things.
Right. What did Jesus say? Good. What did he say? Now Jesus said, weren't the 10 cured? Where are the other 9? Jesus was really taken aback that the other 9 didn't come back to even say thank you. So Jesus was hurt by the other 9 not even saying thank you. We have to learn how to say thank you. You know what happened? Now you graduate from college and your dad buys you a new car. Brand new car. And there it is. He buys you a Mercedes-Benz. You say, no, Dad, I wanted a Maserati. You know what that is? Worth about a third of $1 million. Right off the press from Italy. Shipped over here. No? From the Italians. You say, no, I don't like the German cars, the Mercedes-Benz. I prefer the Italian sports cars. What do you think your father would say? You are a spoiled brat. I'm going to give it to your younger brother. Hopefully you're not going to say that to your father. Thanks, Dad. Where are the keys? No? So God has given us so much, and we have to learn how to say thank you to God. You never let a day to go by without thanking God for something. Never allow one day to go by without thanking God for something. Can you tell me anything that you have that God has not given you? I'll tell you. Your sins. That's the only thing that you have God did not give to you. You chose those. But aside from that, the air you breathe, the blood that's pumping through your veins, the intellect that God has given to you, the understanding that God has given to you, the fact you're able to walk in here with 2 legs that function and 2 eyes that see, that's a pure gift from God. And you got to be thankful. You know what Shakespeare says in Macbeth? More painful than a serpent's tooth, that of an ungrateful child. None of us want to be a serpent's tooth, do we? We want to learn how to say thank you. So that's to your thanksgiving. Give thanks for all. Give thanks for all. And S, S stands for probably one of your favorite words, supplication, right? What does that mean, supplication? That's a college word, right? Do you know what it means, supplication? Not to supply, no. Supplicate, it means to ask. To ask. You might even say to beg. I'd imagine you meet a blind beggar with only one leg. So he's got two handicaps. He can't see and he can't walk. So there he is, stretching out his hand, begging for something to eat. We are all kind of like the blind beggar with one leg. We really depend upon God for so many things. Okay. So these are the four different sentiments of prayer. A, C, T, S. A is for? C is for? T is for? S is for? So when you're talking to God, those are four different sentiments that should flow from your heart. You should do that. Quiet of your room, close the door, put an image of Jesus before you and talk to him as your friend. Adore him. Tell him you're sorry because sometimes we do commit sins. Only God is perfect. Thank God for everything. And we are all beggars before God. Without God, my friends, we're on the highway to hell without God. Highway to hell. Not a dirt path or a sidewalk, but a highway to hell. Highway means you're going fast, huh? No traffic either. But with God, we're on the highway to heaven. Make sure that we're on the highway with God, right? Okay, next. Number 8. What is the prayer that makes the Immaculate Heart of Mary rejoice? Good. The Hail Mary, and next to that, the Holy Rosary. Hail Mary and the Holy Rosary. Can you explain the origin of the Hail Mary? Okay, the Hail Mary, letter A, Hail Mary, full of grace. Put next to that, she's full of grace. Because the Lord is with her. Letter B. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. And place next to that, Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Letter C, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of God and our Mother. And we can trust her. Mary is the Mother of God. She's our Mother and we can trust her. Oh, okay. That one, yeah?
This one, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. At least you got one eye. You know what the poet said, Cameron? The poet said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met someone without any feet. I complained because I had one eye before until I met someone without both of the eyes, right? So at least you have one eye that's working, huh? The other one's going to come back, okay? You have to pray to St. Louis and St. Raphael, those two saints. You know, a certain sense, when we have sicknesses, once we get better, we appreciate the health all the more, right? Yeah. You know, maybe an infection, or maybe you get a stomach ache, or maybe you get a headache, maybe you got a toothache. I've already had three root canals, no joke. Three times, no? Once it was done, thanks be to God it's done, and had to have it done two more times, no? Many people have problems with their teeth. I understand it, no? And my grandmother had her first cavity when she was 100 years old. What do you think about that? My grandmother had her first cavity when she was 100 years old. A lot of people don't even live to be 100 years old, do they? Here I am, and I'm 39 years younger than her, and my teeth are falling apart. So, let's thank God for the fact that we've got at least one eye working, right? Okay, next. In the glory be to the Father, who do we honor? Who do we honor? The Trinity. Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Okay, the Trinity. Okay, number 11, explain the sign of the cross. Okay, the sign of the cross, right, we express two truths. The Trinity, because we say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but also the suffering that Jesus went through for us, because we make the sign of the cross. The suffering that Jesus went through for us. And that's part of Lent that we celebrate. You guys probably went to church last Wednesday and Ash Wednesday, right? You got your ashes. Okay, next, number 12. Obstacles in prayer. Are you there? Page 3, obstacles in prayer. Let's name the major obstacles we have in prayer. First is laziness. Sometimes we're just lazy. We're lazy. La flojera. Laziness. What's easier? To sit down on a sofa, eating popcorn and drinking Coca-Cola, watching a baseball game or a soccer game, or kneeling down on a cold marble floor in front of a statue praying for an hour. Well, it's easier. Sitting on the sofa, right?
Yes.
Or kneeling down on the marble cold floor in front of the statue where it seems like nothing's happening. Much easier to be watching the football game or the basketball game and just chowing down. And you're sitting down, you're praying. It seems if God doesn't really seem to be listening to you. But what's more important in the eyes of God is the prayer, right?
Yes.
So it's even easier to give in to our senses than to cultivate our spiritual life. Next is, number two is, the devil convinces you that you're wasting your time. The devil convinces you you're wasting your time. Did you write that down? Why do you pray? You just, you know, you're wasting your time. Before you're praying in Novena, 9 days in a row, you might get a new bicycle, and another never happened. And God doesn't listen to you. You're wasting your time. Maybe God saw that you're going to drive that bike out of the garage. Within a week, you'd be driving in the on the road. You get hit by a truck, and you'd be killed. Maybe God saw that. He purposely didn't allow you to have that bike so it wouldn't be run over by a Mack truck. God sees the whole picture. He has a panoramic vision. He sees all of it. We see from A to B. God sees from A to Z, even beyond the Z. Yeah. Next. Excessive use of electronic devices and other distractions. Excessive use of electronic devices and other distractions. I don't know the statistic, but I think, Paul, most people in this country, teenagers and adults, watch TV or they're on their phone or on the internet 6 to 7 hours a day. Something like that. And how much time do we pray every day? Well, before I go to bed, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hit the hay. So 6 hours a day in that, and 6 seconds praying. You know? Not very much, is it? Well, at least they made the sign of the cross, Father. Well, better than nothing. Pero muy poco. It's a question of priorities. What's number one? God should be number one, not your telephone. Heard of it? I was reading this story of this man that fell in love with his telephone. And he put a bride's dress on the telephone, and he got a civil justice, and he illegally married his telephone. No, it happened.
I think I heard about it.
What?
I think I heard about it.
Yeah, you hear about that? Maybe they even made a movie about that. You guys think that it's crazy, but see what happens in the world when we lose common sense, when we don't learn to pray. These dumb things are happening. Someone asked the man, "Who are you married to?" "I'm married to my cell phone." Okay, so next. Number four is, write this, I have a bad conscience. You have a bad conscience. Your conscience is not at peace. Your conscience is not at peace. You got to go to confession first. Okay, number five is you ever hear this expression in Spanish, la filosofía de la mañana? La filosofía de la mañana? The philosophy of tomorrow. Okay, la mañana. Put it off until tomorrow. So write down number five is, do you know the word procrastinate? What does procrastinate mean? You'd say later, 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 later. I'll do it tomorrow. You put it off. You put it off. So those are the key obstacles to prayer. Put off until tomorrow. Yeah. So maybe we can follow up on this maybe next week. We didn't get it, and there's so much to say. So let's say Hail Mary, and then we'll pray to Mary that she'll help us to pray better. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Okay.